Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us. Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is a second time guest, but a new role.
Yes.
So welcoming back Havana Watkins, who is the executive director of Almost Home. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me back.
I'm so excited.
I am too. It's so funny that we met so many years ago and we just keep like...
We keep connecting.
Yes, it's meant to be.
Yeah, I think it is. We're meant to be friends.
We are.
Because when I first met you, it was when I was doing kind of a coaching program.
Yes.
Right? And then you came on the pod when you were working in the domestic violence, intimate partner violence.
Yep.
That was a great episode. Check that out.
Yes, it was.
And then now you've been at Almost Home for a year and a half.
I have. It has been great. You know, still kind of dealing with intimate partner violence.
Yes.
You know, like it's there. It's trauma. It's unfortunately something that happens a lot. And so I came in the role, started off as interim, and just kind of evolved into being asked to stay and be the executive director there. And you know, we've went through a lot of changes. We're evolving. We're becoming better. And, you know, we're celebrating 31 years of existence. And, you know, it's just my hopes and dreams to fulfill everything that the sisters that started it, their mission and value, that we just keep it going and, you know, helping those teenage moms that are unhoused but still need a place to go.
So, okay. So for people who are not familiar with Almost Home, which, by the way, I think it is a hidden gem of a nonprofit.
Absolutely.
Y'all are doing some pretty amazing things. So for those people who don't really know what Almost Home is, you've given us a little taste of it, but dive in a little bit more. How did it get founded? What's the mission? So go from there.
Sure. So Almost Home was founded almost 31 years ago by the Franciscan sisters. And they saw that there was a need. There were teenage moms that weren't allowed to be in shelters. They were unhoused, the shame. And, you know, we still deal with shame even today.
Today, 2024.
Exactly. And so they started off in a small little area and they housed them, and then the Catholic Charities supported them as they could build an entire building. And the entire building houses up to 15 moms and 25 children.
Whoa.
And this home is nestled in South City, not too far. It's in the Gate District, not too far from SLU Hospital. And not only does it house moms and their children, we have a full kitchen. We have a full basement. We have so many different life skills that are there. We have our admin building is in the same building as well. So all of our administrative staff are there. And while, you know, years ago it was able to be run completely by volunteers, we are not volunteer ran anymore, but we're still a small staff. We're a small but mighty staff. And we have plenty of volunteers and community partners to help us live out the mission. So we want to end poverty two generations at a time, right? Mm. And we do this with the mom and the child. So we have to teach them life skills. Like, we didn't just wake up and learn how to pay all of our bills and juggle being a parent or
a
caregiver,
right?
So we're there to kind of help them with all of those skills that they need. Like, okay, you didn't finish school, or maybe you had to drop out because you had a child and you were sleeping from couch to couch. Okay, that's okay. We have somewhere safe for you to live now. We have laundry on site. You can have your own room. You do have to share a bathroom, but I have to share a bathroom with my kids and husband at home, too. So it's a thing. but we still have three bathrooms, right?
Yeah.
So if sometimes you need some alone time and you need a bath, like, we do have a tub, so you can do that. So we have those bathrooms. We pass medications for them, so we help them so that they know what it is to do and how to do it. So all of our staff are med certified. So there's no risk of a child getting into medication, even over-the-counter things, or something as simple as vitamins, you know.
Right.
So we do that. We also have a partnership with St. Louis City Public Schools, and they come in and help with HISET, which is the formerly known as GED, but GED is coming back. But she comes in 2 days a week and help them. So literally, you just have to come downstairs and work on your testing so you can get ready to pass your test. And she's with you every step of the way. We have volunteers that will be with the children if they're not enrolled in daycare yet so that they can have focused time to study, to do what it is that they need to do.
Oh, wow.
Our staff, along with a couple of volunteers, help run our kitchen. So, you know, again, partnerships. So we have different partners that will donate food to us, but we also pick up food. And because of another partnership we had with AARP, We have a volunteer that comes in 3 days a week. And let me tell you, she cooks some mean breakfast, okay?
Oh, wow.
So they have an amazing home-style breakfast that they don't have to fix on their own. But it's a life skill, too. So they will learn how to cook and sign up for a class. Not a class, a day in time. Each mom has to. They have chores. What are you going to help with cooking? Whether it's prepping or maybe they know how to cook something. But it builds community.
Right.
So they can teach their friend or someone else in the resident, like, okay, this is how I make my macaroni and cheese or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And Operation Food Search also comes in, and once a month they do a cooking class. So, you know, we really pride ourselves on knowing that we can't do it all
mm-hmm.
and partnering with other agencies so that we can give them the full wraparound services that they need. We have therapy.
I was just going to ask.
Yes, we do. That's a major component.
Because I would imagine, and please tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I would imagine that some of the things that lead to a woman being unhoused
mm-hmm.
could be, yes, shame and stigma and mm-hmm. the family saying, you can't stay here.
Yes.
And also maybe trauma, as mm-hmm. you mentioned,
absolutely.
Maybe some underlying mental health mm-hmm. disorders, maybe substance use,
yes.
maybe. And so talk a little bit about the counseling services that you all provide.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a contract therapist that will come in and we'll work with them all the way from the beginning till they leave.
How long does somebody stay usually?
So you can stay there up to 2 years.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. And the other part is, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're working, you're saving your money. We have apartments that was built later on across the street.
Then you can transition
yes.
there. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Which is good for the
units.
Kiddos, too,
yeah.
because if they're developing friendships,
yes.
like it just builds community.
And you still can just come across the street for those same services you were already getting. The
oh,
case management,
cool.
the therapy. Maybe you need some extra groceries or something, or maybe you need some washing detergent. Like, we're going to give those things to you and help you. Because we're not just saying, okay, we've helped you. You've
yeah.
done all these great things.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, we want to help you every step of the way.
Mm.
But to go back to your therapy question, so we have therapists. We also have therapeutic groups that come in. So again, with our lovely partners.
Yes.
We have like Annie Malone that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And they will also.
Oh, grief and things
yeah,
like that.
They
okay.
will do all of that and talk about substance use as well.
Yep.
We have Project Deem High comes in.
Yes.
They're all therapists as well and do therapeutic groups, and sometimes they may want one-on-one services with that. So it's really nice because we know that everybody isn't going to feel comfortable opening up and talking about those deep things,
sure.
deep-rooted trauma. So we have a variety of therapists that may come through that they can partner up with, but everybody has to do therapy in a therapeutic group.
Everybody has to do therapy.
That's a requirement of the program.
So you've got to do therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you take on some chores.
Yep.
Okay. Are there other requirements?
So if you don't have your high school diploma, you've got to be working towards that.
Oh, all right.
If you do have your high school diploma, because we do have some mm-hmm. who have finished, you have to be working. And what's our plan? So, again, we want to end poverty. So we don't want to think about consistently living off of public benefits. So what are our goals?
No shame in public benefits.
No shame.
And it's a launching pad.
Exactly, because we're trying to end poverty two generations at a time. So if we set you up for success, you're going to set the next generation, your children's up for success as well. And so we have other partners that come in. Let's talk about budgeting. What does that look like to open up a bank account? A lot of people are living off like Cash App and Venmo,
yep.
right? Which you do what you know,
you
right?
You do what you know, and
but
it's not necessarily
help
security
right.
and helping build that generational
exactly.
wealth.
So we want to help them, like, they don't know what they don't know. So let's talk about that. Let's set those goals. How much are we going to save out of each check?
Mm.
How much are we going to set aside for an emergency and saving so we can have, like, our down payment for our apartment or a car or, you know,
which are basic life skills that a lot of people who are privileged, so to speak, have no idea how to do.
Exactly.
Right? And you're
mm-hmm.
never taught.
Mm-hmm.
You're really never taught
right.
about those kinds of things.
No.
So how amazing that you're building that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kiddos are also seeing that
right.
and learning that secondhand.
Exactly. Exactly. So we just really want to be able to give you all of those tools so you can be successful. And I get it. I was 16 before, and like, everything that mom and dad said in the beginning, it didn't click at that time. Mm. But boy, it hit you in the face when you do get out on your own and no one's cooking your breakfast for you or doing the grocery shopping for you. And like having to have that balancing act of parenting and going to school, parenting and trying to parent yourself, the inner child that didn't completely heal or anything like that. But wow, knowing that you still have someone right across the street that you could say, hey, I'm having a rough time. Like, what can I do? What do I do? And we help with those parenting skills as well, right? Because a lot of them come in and they're like, you know, how do you feel about discipline? Like,
Well, and you're like, I don't know. How do I feel about discipline? You know, and I'm 43, and there are parts of me where I'm like, well, I just really want to like get some Taco Bell and curl up in a ball, right? And like, I'm, you know, I'm not in your program, but I'm still struggling with those things too. So we all struggle with those
things. And there's no shame. Like, we have alumni and those that have graduated from the program a year, two, many, many years. We had some that come back and they want to give back.
Of course.
So some of them, they may adopt a room and say, hey, I was in this room and I want to decorate it and I want to do these things, which is super cool. We have some that come back that want to pour into the moms and say, hey, I've been where you were. It wasn't easy. I know you.
Mentoring.
They make you get up.
Uh-huh.
It sucks to get up early in the morning. I get it. Like, even at my age.
Yes, it does. It sucks to get up in the morning.
But being able to say, like, hey, I've been through it, and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it will help you. We have one alumni who spoke at our event last year, and she was like, I still use some of those tools. I still do mommy and me time. And, like, her, I want to say her daughter's, like, 14 or 15, and she's like, I make sure I have that one-on-one time of just us to be and feel like we have something to talk about that's not like schoolwork or discipline or like anything like that. So, you know, those little gems that we drop, even though it seems like maybe, are we really getting to them? We are.
We always say at Prevent Ed, like, we plant a lot of seeds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we see those seeds bear fruit.
Yes.
Not always. Right. And that's, and quite frankly, that's not why we're doing this work. That's not why your staff are doing it. That's certainly not why my team are doing it.
Yeah.
We don't do it to see all the fruit that has, you know, been born. How do you say that? Yielded? You know what I mean.
It is.
You know that. We don't do it for that. Mm-hmm. We do it because we believe in the power of education and decision making and prevention and building skills that maybe we will see the benefits from in two cycles or two generations or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I feel like I should have worn like a girl power shirt today because Almost Home seems very like a lot of like girl power energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how it works if there are partners involved and can they stay there? How does that work in the apartments?
Yeah.
Is there like healthy relationship coaching too? How does that work?
So we do have healthy relationship classes. Obviously,
can I sign up? I'm just kidding.
We all need a refresher, right? We do conduct healthy relationship classes and talk about that. We really don't, and we do parenting classes as well. And we have partners that we partner up with like parents as teachers will come in and talk about those things. But we really don't focus on like reunification of families like that. But we just talk about like, here are some boundaries. These are some things that you need to do. Obviously, anytime someone comes to the building, you know, to visit, they have to sign in and things of that nature.
It's like a dorm.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You are not allowed to have your partner come in.
Okay.
Same sex or not.
Got it.
And even the child's father, they can pick them up from outside. Mm. So it's okay for them to come, but we have those boundaries. We do not let them come in because things could go a different way.
They could go a million different ways sideways.
Yeah. So just to protect everybody, that's just what we do.
Yeah.
It's just our rules. In our apartments, it's kind of the same thing because we're trying to help the mom with stability. And we understand you have company. You have someone over for a little while, but we really want to keep you focused on that path of like, I can do this. Everything's going to be okay. And not so much in a space where you feel like you have to have that partner back there. But we get it. Like if someone just had a new baby, like absolutely we want them to be around. But there's a way that we can help and coach you into having those relationships and your partner and father being present without always being like on our property. And it's just safety reasons because it's a lot of moms and babies.
I mean,
a lot of moms and babies.
And, you know, when you're trying to focus on yourself and your kid, sometimes things can distract you.
Yeah.
And so, but I would imagine, Well, I know because I know you enough. You're straightforward about this from the get-go.
Right,
so it's not like you're surprising somebody's boyfriend and being like, you can't sleep over. They know this ahead of time.
Yes, they know this. I mean, and it's across the board. So mom may come and say, hey, I want to see. Okay, we'll have her come down if she's in the building.
Right.
But like, we have to have boundaries because we don't know who actually is a trigger. We don't also know the full background. We get what they tell us.
Right.
But there's so many other instances where there are other things going on that aren't being disclosed till they're like, please don't let them know. Like, I don't want them. So, you know, we try, we're very protective of like our moms and our babies of wanting to make sure that they're okay. Also our staff, because that can get confrontational as well.
Yep.
So we're a little protective bunch.
And yeah, that sounds great to me.
Yeah.
It's like it really is a little village, which is really great. So you mentioned that some of the do you call them graduates or the people who...
Alumni.
Yeah. Okay. So that some of the alumni have wanted to adopt a room. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, similarly, is how I first found out about Almost Home, because you really do try to create an environment that feels like a home.
Absolutely.
And so you all, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you collect donations of home furnishings, right? Everything from a dining room table that is nice. We're not looking for your junky stuff, right? But, you know, or like a brand new comforter or something like that, like to make it seem like home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So each room comes standard with like a twin size bed, a desk, a chair, maybe like a rocker or a glider. And depending on the age of the child will be like a pack and play or a baby bed or a toddler size bed. And they have a walk-in
closet. How about a race car bed?
Yes, we've had some of those.
Get out. I was just kidding.
And the Minnie and Mickey Mouse ones.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Take you back to your childhood.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, cool. Okay.
And it, we try to make it feel like home. We have the curtains, the nice blinds, words of affirmation, different types
all
of
all your like live, laugh, love stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
And comforter sets. And that bed in the bag, when they decide that they're ready to transition and leave, they can have that. Because you have to think about it. Like, if they've been from place to place, they may not had anything of their own. Like, that's there. So it's a brand new bed and bed. Before, when we turn the room over, we don't go, it's brand new comforter set, smells nice and sheets and all of that. But yes, we do take like those donations of those toiletry items, right?
Oh, right,
so
right, right.
Sometimes they may just literally come with the clothes on their back. So toiletry items are always valuable. Towels and sheet sets are always valuable. And books, of course, because we always promoting like literacy and reading to the children. And even if you're pregnant, we're
so
like,
kids' books, but also maybe I would say some motivational books.
Yes, some positive books. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how, if somebody is listening and they have, they want to buy a bed in a bag or they have this set of curtains that weren't the right size for their window, but they want to donate it, how would they go about doing that? Or do you have only specific times you collect donations?
So it kind of depends. So we do have an Amazon wish list. So sometimes people just rather just buy and ship it there and leave it at that. But you can go onto our website or you can call and say, hey, I have these donations. Are you accepting these at this time? Because sometimes we may have a plethora of, I don't know, walkers.
Yeah, and you only have so much storage. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's always nice just to give us a head up and say, hey, I want to come by and donate these things. Is this a need right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if sometimes we may not be able to, but we have other partners that need it, right? Like,
yes.
Crisis Nursery always needs things for their babies. We have other, or we may know like an alumni that just moved and like they're saying, hey,
yes,
do you all have any of these items? We may not have it, but we may be able to connect them and say, hey, someone just moved into their first apartment. They need these particular things. And that's happened a number of times as well, where someone say, hey, I'm moving. Do you have anybody who needs a new dining room set? Mm. We may not have the room, but we can coordinate for you two to get it.
Exactly.
And there you have it.
And I know a lot of people, you know, would much rather have it go to somebody who would appreciate it and really love it as much as you've loved it.
Right.
And then you're not having to put it on Facebook Marketplace and
finagle that
and all that stuff. So
that can be very challenging.
It can be challenging. But you still want somebody to like, who wants it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And you,
Yeah.
So how do women come to you?
Yes. I get that question a lot.
Because I mean... for better or worse, and this is, again, I mean, thank goodness for me, I guess, I had never heard of you all.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone needs you,
how do they
find you?
So it's a number of ways. So in this day and age, you know, Google is everyone's best friend.
Mm-hmm, right.
So believe it or not, we have a lot of people who self-refer.
And
so
they just Google, like, I need a place to go with my kid?
Pregnancy, home.
Uh-huh.
And there's a small little form that you fill out, and the next day someone will call you, either that day or the next day. Because if you sent it at 2 a.m., we'll call
sure.
you the next day. But and they will call you and just kind of do a small, like, assessment, just questionnaire, just kind of see to make sure it's a right fit. Because
yes.
knowing that it's a rigorous program and you're going to have to go to class.
Yep.
And you're going to have the art. Is that what you want? Because it may not be a good fit for you. And that's okay.
And that is okay.
We'll refer you somewhere else. But we want you to understand what it is you're getting into.
Right.
You know, because
right.
we're in it to win it with you. If that's what you want. And if you don't, that's okay. So people can self-refer on the website. And it's a quick little form that has a few little questions. And then we call you back.
Okay.
Additionally, we have referrals that have come from hospitals. We have a
pediatrician that, would make sense.
That is on our board as well. And she refers mothers. Some of the hospitals refer. Barnes has like the teen pregnancy center.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Refer.
Okay.
Other maternal agencies may refer if they're full or for whatever reason it's not a good fit or the age, because we all have different ages and demographics that we have.
That's right.
So we're 16 to 21 with one or two children.
Okay.
And other agencies may be 15 to 18 or 18 and or you have to be pregnant. So you can be pregnant or you can already have a child and be between those age ranges.
Gotcha.
And we have a few schools that refer as well.
Okay.
So some of the social workers and parents as teachers mm-hmm. is housed in a few of those schools mm-hmm. and they will refer because they're already working with like a teen mom or someone
yes.
who's pregnant.
So speaking of, you know, you mentioned that you get referrals from some hospitals mm-hmm. and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all are like going deep in the health world.
We
and,
are.
Yeah. And you have a pretty exciting new thing happening.
Yes.
Ma'am.
So,
let's talk about this new exciting thing.
You know, wherever I go, health equity follows. That's just
okay.
my jazz. It's my jam. I'm going
health
to find
equity,
a way.
Okay.
Yes. So March 4th, we actually had our grand opening for our on-site clinic. So with this on-site health clinic.
Snaps to you.
Yes. Thank you. We have partnered again with a community agency, Integrated Family Medicine, IFM.
Yes.
And we have this nurse practitioner that comes once a week. And we have the set times. We have all the paperwork. And
cool.
the mothers and their children can see her for well visits, sick visits, immunizations, vaccinations, just anything that they would need to see. So we could take away that barrier of having to make an appointment, catching a bus, trying to find transportation and get in there. Maybe the child needs to have a physical so they can start school. Well, guess what? All you got to do is wait till next week. You don't have to wait 30 days out for that appointment.
That's amazing.
Yes. And we do all the paperwork on site. One of our case managers, our program manager, I'm sorry, has that. So that time is dedicated to just you seeing that nurse practitioner.
Awesome.
And it's so amazing. And also, our staff can see her. So you know how it is working in a nonprofit
out of
world.
Town. Yeah, like you're supposed to squeeze in your doctor's visits on Saturday mornings. Okay.
Exactly.
And yet they don't work
exactly.
on Saturdays.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, then you have to go to the bank and you have to go to mm-hmm. the dentist and you have to get your
all
oil changed.
Things.
All the things at that time.
Yes.
So your staff can, I bet
so
they were so
the
jazzed.
The staff can see too. So if you're not feeling well or you feel like you have the flu, like all of those
cool.
things, or, you know, maybe it's like flu season and people want to get vaccinations, she'll say, hey, can you bring a few? And she'll bring them with her.
Oh, wow.
The other cool thing I really like is we could do the prescriptions as well. So she'll write a prescription and she'll have the pharmacy delivered to almost
Shut
home. So again, we're taking
up.
Away those barriers. They don't have to worry about like their insurance and if they've gotten enrolled or re-enrolled, you know, all of those things. And on top of that, we also have a doula that comes in a couple times a week. So when you talk about maternal mortality,
Get
you're talking about trauma
out.
Of telling your story again, when you're talking about bringing your child to a doctor and wondering if you're going to be judged, we take all of that away. So we have this nurse practitioner that you've built this relationship with, and she's amazing. She's awesome. Everybody loves her. It's the same nurse practitioner
every
time. Which
is so great. You know, you're not having to restart
yes.
over and over again.
Everything. Same with the doula. You've got built this relationship. You don't meet her just when you know, have the baby when you first go to the hospital, which is still cool, but like...
Yeah.
At 16, like, even when I had my first one at 30, like,
it's scary,
I didn't know all of these things.
Yeah.
But at 16, like, I really didn't know. And I don't know what I would have done. Like, trying to have a child at 16 with no clue. So she comes in and she'll do like childbirth education classes. She'll talk about lactation or how you want to feed your child. She'll talk about, you know, different ways and comfort measures when you get ready to and how to advocate for yourself. Because, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
When you get into the hospital. But, you know, I think
particularly for certain groups, right?
Exactly.
Like, let's not bury the lead.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Black moms and babies have really poor health outcomes because they don't know how to advocate for themselves, or no one's listening to them, or they don't have access to the care.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Louis's rates are abysmal.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And so this is incredible what you're doing.
So we're able to take away that stigmatism. We're able to walk hand in hand with them and let them know, like, no, they have somebody. We're supporting them, and this is how you advocate for yourself. I mean, she goes with them to their appointments and everything, so it's a familiar face. You know who I am, and I'm going to be here and advocate and make sure that they're okay and just kind of help them navigate those things. I know we had a mom last year whose baby, she did well, and I was there to support her, and the baby ended up in a NICU.
Mm.
And so we had to have that conversation of, she's like, well, he can come home. I was like, I'll be there with you.
Yeah.
Like, you're in communal living. A child that has these things, that's like the safety, because she has to walk all the way down the hall to ensure that she washes her hand first. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, we need to ensure that he stays here when he's ready and stable to come completely home, not with those things where you would send someone else home. But, you know, being young, living in a shelter like this, like, that wasn't going to be conducive to this baby, and then the baby could have ended up back there. But he is doing great now.
Yay!
He still smiles and flirts with me.
Of course,
because I saw him first.
Well, and that, I mean, the NICU, I mean, just that concept is foreign until you've been there.
Absolutely.
Or had somebody close to you who's been there.
Right.
And it's very scary.
Yes.
Right? And so then how are you balancing kind of the home fires while you're there and making sure that the kiddo's getting what they need?
Yeah.
I mean, to have that support
would
just be huge. And then if you're dealing with mental health challenges or postpartum or whatever on that other side, like, then that's also really helpful to have the doula there as well.
Yes. Whoa. So it's a whole team effort. Like, we're all working.
How many staff do you have?
So we have 15 staff. We have a lot of contractors. So
contractors and volunteers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. In different groups, but 15 staff, 8 of which are full-time and everybody else is part-time, and we rock and roll and we get it done.
And so, speaking of getting it done, and if you have a brand new set of curtains you'd like to donate, you would take that. But
absolutely.
Also, y'all have a gala coming up, because this shit ain't free, right?
Facts.
Okay. So, facts. June 13th, talk to us about your events.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you're having alumni there, and are any of your current residents there?
Yes.
Okay.
So, June 13th at Olive and Oak in Webster Grove.
Oh, yes, fancy.
Yes, it's really good. It's really good food.
Olive and Oak is really good.
It is. Really good drinks, really good atmosphere, really good desserts. Like, everything there is good, right?
Okay.
So last year was our 30th anniversary, so we did something different. Traditionally, we have been having a baby shower that may have been outdoors, just a big to-do. Community members will come. Well, we wanted to get fancy last year.
Yeah,
celebrate 30 years.
Put that pinky up. Let's get fancy.
And so that's what we did. And it just turned out amazing. We had live music. We had Carmen in the Melody Line. We had our MC was from Channel 4, which is always nice to have
it's always nice to have a media person.
Yes, media is always great. And she was amazing. And she was pregnant at the time, so it was quite fitting.
Oh, cool. Cool.
And so everybody said, let's do it again. It was great. We raised a lot of money.
Awesome.
We had a fun time. People were able to mingle. And like some of those donors that we really don't get to see.
Yeah.
They just mail the check or they'll send something in. But it's like, oh my gosh, a face with the person.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we're doing it again. So we're going to turn our annual baby shower into an annual gala now. So we will be having it on Thursday, June 13th from 6 to 9. We will have live music. We will have lots of food. We will have lots of desserts. We have silent auction gifts that we have a giveaway. And then there's an after party this time for those who don't want to go straight home. So
that is something that Prevent Ed will never be able to have. Unfortunately for some people, yes. But that sounds really fun. Yes, I want to come to this.
You should come.
Okay. And how much are your tickets? Dances. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $150.
Okay.
We do have sponsorship opportunities as well. You can also buy a table. Or if you just want to come for the party part, which is just dancing and still having like light bites, you can come. Those tickets are $75.
Cool. So something for everybody.
Absolutely. And it'll be a fun time. We're a fun crowd. We like having fun. And of course, raising money. So what better way to have fun and to raise money for such an amazing cause and, you know, to help those moms and to keep the legacy going. Like, that's what it's all about, of being able to keep it going. And we always have an alumni speak and just kind of tell their story, share what they've been through, what they learned, where they are now. Because that's always the thing, like, well, where are they now? What's happening now? And I just love to hear the stories. We have some that are nurses. We actually have one that was a nurse and actually took care of one of the founding sisters when she was transitioning.
Stop it. I just got the goosebumps. Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
How amazing is that?
Yeah. Wow.
We have some that are real estate agents. We have, I mean, they do so many different things. Motivational speakers to help them with finance. It's always nice. So we'll have them there and they'll share and you can kind of see them. And we always have like the pictures. So you kind of see like, oh, that was me when I was, you know, here or I was graduating. So it's always nice to be able to see some that have been a part of our program and some that are fresh. And actually, we had one alumni that still works with us, and she actually was taking pictures at our event last year. So no one would have ever known, but I made sure. I was like, no, give her an extra hug. Like, she graduated. She graduated from Webster. She does things in the media. And so, like, we were able to help and support her and build her business by letting her be the photographer at our
event.
You
love your job, don't you?
I do. Can you tell?
I mean, I can. I can. Like, you love your job.
I do. I do. As a mom, I do. As a child that came from parents that had me young and, like, had support. But just to think, like, if she didn't have support, if my parents didn't have that kind of support, knowing that a place like Almost Home exists, it's really... It hits home because everybody doesn't have that. And yeah, I just love what I do. I love helping the moms, and it's kind of full circle.
Yeah.
It's a full circle moment because I remember going down that street as my mom was getting ready to go up to college, SIUE. That's where I went to daycare. It was my first daycare. And the stars would be out as she was walking down that street to get to school. So, like, their determination, their grit, it's always been there as I watched my mother do it. And so now I'm just, like, trying to, you know, give back and help those other moms.
She must be pretty proud.
I think she is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely.
Two-time repeat guest.
Thank you for having me.
And seriously, lots of ways to get engaged with Almost Home. Give us the website.
Yes, almosthomestl.org.
Lots of ways to get involved. I told you this was a hidden gem. I told you, but we don't want it to be hidden anymore, right? We don't want it to be hidden.
No more hiding.
If you liked what you heard, and I know you did, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing. Thank you so much. As always, appreciative of our sponsor in Hubbard for letting us be here and have these conversations to shed light on just some amazing gems in the community. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.